We have pursued peace and holiness, and now we are moving on one more word, maybe. We'll take in more than a single word here. This does, surprisingly for me at any rate, this has been a much more involved piece of Scripture with a lot more implications than we sometimes see in it. And particularly, we're looking at verse 15. And we get down here, says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. And we have a little bit of a shift in what's going on here. And the thing that happens is he's been talking about some kind of specific things that go directly to the individual. It says, you as an individual, you strengthen your weak hands and your feeble knees. You know, make straight paths for your feet. You know, you pursue peace with all people. You pursue holiness. You know, these are things that are directed at us as individuals, that we should be working in these things. And they're somewhat internal. When we pursue peace, that's an activity which is what we can do, and holiness is something which is internal to us. But then he makes a little bit of a shift, and for one thing, we're seeing now some things that are maybe a little bit more to the body, that as a group, we do some things. And the other thing is that these are things which have more of an outward direction, that these are actions that we take with regard to others, and how we're going to relate to others. And so there's just that little bit of a subtle shift in there. And in particular, in verse 15 there, he makes that change and says, looking carefully. And the thing that is maybe most interesting in that particular thing, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, And we have here chapter 5, verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. And the word that I want you to notice in there is where he says, serving as overseers. Now, we see that word in various places in Scripture, and particularly we see that word translated as bishops. And we get this idea of the overseer as the bishop, as the senior person in charge of other religious leaders. And what we have here is we have a particular variation on the Greek word, episkopontes, for those who care. which is related to the word that we normally translate as bishop or overseer, derived from the same roots, but has a little bit of a different meaning to it. And it carries this specific meaning is to take care of or to watch over. And when we see that there in Hebrews 12, he says, looking carefully, it really is saying, being an overseer of whoever, watching over carefully, taking care of, and he's speaking to the church body as a whole. He says, you all should be watching over one another carefully so that no one falls short of the grace of God. And oh boy, this drops us right into a gigantic mess here, and there are really good odds that I will come back to this particular topic at some other point. Phil's smiling. You know how that goes. Because right here we have one of those statements that real easily gets us into trouble when we say, okay, make sure that nobody falls short of the grace of God. What does that mean to fall short of the grace of God. What does it mean that somebody, some translators say, fails to attain? The thing that we have to look at in this is, I think, first of all, that he's not making a profound theological argument about whether we are preserved by the power of God in our salvation or whether we can lose it. That's not his argument here. And so to try to draw this as making that statement is a little bit outside of where he's going with this. Because remember, what's his audience? Who is he talking to? What is their issue? Their issue is that they are people who believe in Jesus Christ, are starting to encounter persecution, and are tempted to turn away from the practice of following Jesus Christ. Doesn't say anything necessarily about whether they remain saved or not, but they'll turn away from him and revert back to worshiping God under the law and as Jews. Okay, so the implication is that maybe somebody might want to go back to that other older system that they've been under. But again, we run into some little quirks with the word that he uses there. And I've mentioned before, translation is difficult. Okay? Translation is really difficult. And anybody who's ever studied a foreign language or has learned or speaks more than one language knows that there is frequently not a really clear, precise way of saying in a different language what you say in one language. And that's just the reality, that it's not always straightforward. And so we get into some of these little things, and what does he mean by fall short? What does it mean to fall short? And the words that he uses in there are actually, it's a really strange kind of thing, because it's a word which is more commonly seen in Greek in reference to something like a caravan or an army marching or attacking, and that this is the person who either lags behind or maybe shrinks back. And so the guy who doesn't want to be at the forefront of the battle, so he's a little bit slow in the march. He's not the first one to get there. And so there's this implication in this of someone who is just reluctant to go all the way, reluctant to fully commit. And I think that's a really important perspective on this, because it's not so much somebody being there and falling away as someone who maybe is not quite ready to fully commit. You know, watch out for the person who's not quite ready to fully commit. Watch out for the person whose commitment to Christ is maybe just very superficial at this point. Maybe they're remember the parable of the soils, and you've got people that the seed is sown among the thin soil and it springs up right away, but it doesn't have any roots. You know, maybe you've got some of those people here, and they are not well-rooted. They don't have that strong foundation. And they're maybe a little bit reluctant to fully commit, to sink their roots into Christ and make themselves firmly planted in Him. And so he advises the church, watch for these people. Now, this is not a caution in the sense of watch out for these people and be careful because they're dangerous, but watch out for these people because they are maybe in danger of either never really coming to a saving grace in Christ or being saved and falling back into old habits and losing the blessings of salvation. He's not, like I say, he's not really arguing about the issue of eternal security. That's not his point here. He's talking mostly about how people are behaving and how they're acting. And the focus is, what are we as the church doing with these people? He says, You are all to be overseers, looking out for one another. This is sort of a mutual looking around gesture. That we are looking out for one another and watching out for those who are struggling in faith, those who are weak, those who are tempted, those who have these things going on that might cause them to shrink back from the point of the attack, to trail at the back of the column on the march. And so as those people are seen and recognized, we have that responsibility not to call them out, not to attack them or purge them. But this is an encouragement to strengthen and build up. And this has been one of his things all through this section has been that we are to look at these things that are going on. Look at the persecution. Look at the struggles. Look at the challenges. These are for the purpose of building us up. And that we have as God is building up us up, we have a responsibility to build one another up. The allergies make it so my tongue does not entirely do what it's directed to do. So when we think about the intent behind this, it's aimed at the church, that the church as a body be encouraging and strengthening one another so that nobody is tempted to fall away, so that nobody goes into the wrong direction, that their fear does not overwhelm their faith. See, we live in a time right now where this is particularly applicable. Because when I look at Christians across the board, and it happens, I think, to all of us, is that we're in a society where naming Christ is not socially acceptable. It's not something that garners you immediate respect. You know, maybe 50, 60, 80 years ago, to be identified with Jesus Christ, to be known as a good citizen and a Christian was something that was an accolade, that people looked up to you because of that statement. And now when somebody says that, he's a Christian, it's almost never said in a positive sense in our society. And so we come up against the fear of being identified with Christ. And we're afraid to name him. We're afraid to be seen as Christian. And in that fear, our faith gets overwhelmed. He's talked a lot about faith. But that fear, and fear is a sneaky thing. If you have fear, it spreads. It goes from person to person. It becomes a problem. One of the things that military leaders are particularly trained to recognize and deal with is panic. If you have a military unit which is under attack, one of the worst things that can happen when things are going wrong is panic. And as long as people keep their heads and stay focused and do what they're supposed to do, you've got a chance. When people panic, it all falls apart. And so he's saying here, don't panic. Don't let your fear overcome your faith. All of this stuff that's going on, we've gone through, we looked at all of the chastisement and all of this stuff. It all feeds into this same idea. Don't let that fear of the world, don't let the fear of what might happen to you at this time in this body, in the world now, don't let that overcome your faith in Jesus Christ, your faith in the promise that God has made. Don't let it overwhelm what God has done for you. We've got to have our focus in the right place. And if we watch out for one another, see, here's how you prevent that spiritual panic, is that we watch out for one another. And that when the problems begin to arise, when the challenges begin to arise, when there's someone who is tempted to fall away when there is someone who is losing in their walk, who is holding back, who is starting to disappear from the body, that we are the ones who come to them and we encourage them and we strengthen them, that we try to restore their faith and overcome their fear. We work in ourselves, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. We build up our strength there through faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we need a little outside help in that. And sometimes we're the one who has the strength. And if we're the one who has the strength, we're called to be that overseer, the one who is watching out for, watching over the rest of the body, keeping them strong, keeping them in the right place. I'm going to stop before I dive into the root of bitterness, because there's absolutely no chance that we'd be out of here before dinner time, okay? The thing that he goes on to talk about next, he talks about a bunch of sin and stuff, and we'll talk about that next week. What we have to understand is that if we are strong in faith, if we are strong in our relationship with Jesus Christ, individually and as a body, that is the buttress that we have against temptation and sin and Satan. That the world can do nothing against us if we keep our faith in Christ strong. And we do that best as a body, as a family of believers, and that we are called to watch over one another. Let's make that our mission. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think about the challenge that there is in this world today, as we think about the way that you are attacked, the way that faith in you is belittled and that people hate you, Lord, I pray that you would give us an extra measure of faith and the extra strength that we need to be able to stand up and name you and identify ourselves with you, that we would not be in fear, that we would not shrink back from the battle, but that we would fully receive the gift of the grace of Jesus Christ as people who follow him. And we ask, Lord, that this would be something then that we would be able to share with one another, that we would be able to use as a body to strengthen us and build us up. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to grow together, that you would help us to work for you as a body, that we would be a representative of Jesus Christ in the community here as a body. Give us that spirit, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.